The only thing I said on the pod that I guess was a reporting, but I know I'm right, is that the Celtics made an offer. I don't know if Jaylen Brown was in it.
Yeah.
I assume he has to be in it.
Yeah, see, I don't know how you get that.
I don't know. I don't either, but I don't know how you would make an offer without him in it.
Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson, Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
It is 93.7 WEEI. I am Rich Certainly, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, and we are live in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and employee pricing for all. You pay what we pay. Ford, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball. And that dirty water, and that voice you heard right there, of course, was Bill Simmons and a very raspy Doc Rivers. Has he gotten like a lot more Large Marge over the years? His voice has gotten very low.
Yeah. You put on some weight, the voice gets a little lower. He's putting on some pounds.
You know, living hard, trying to keep up with Giannis and his partying ways up there and showing up late for the plane. But in studio with us right now, down all the way at Fenway, is our own guy, top-tier Turpin, Justin Turpin. He writes for WEEI.com and oh so much more. Turp, thank you for joining us, sir.
My pleasure. Let me just start by saying this. Sure. I cannot wait for this thing to be over.
What?
Like, really? I cannot wait for this just to be resolved. When we're getting reports of Miami or rival executives think Miami thinks this, we've lost the plot here. Yeah. I'm ready for this thing to be resolved.
But it's been a fun story to cover, right? A lot of speculation, but it's been kind of carried us through the summer, man.
I mean, especially like right now when, like, other than the World Cup, like, what's the bigger talking point in sports right now?
Oh, sure.
To be honest, like, this is the biggest story in sports besides the World Cup right now.
All right. I'm going to start off with a two-part question. So I'm going to ask you one, and then I'm going to follow up with something.
All right.
First of all, Gary Washburn mentioned something the other day when he was talking about this story. And I don't want to misquote him, but there was something in what he was saying that speculated that Brad Stevens could be trying to find a way to get Giannis to come to the Boston Celtics while at the same time keeping both Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Do you see that being doable, feasible in any kind of way? And if so, how?
I don't. And I don't think it's feasible financially and also just from the team makeup wise. So we have been talking about for years, like, oh, how do Tatum and Brown coexist? And whether or not that's a fair conversation, I know people love to have it. I don't think that's a fair conversation. I think they've proven that they can coexist. But now you add Giannis in there. Okay, so now Jaylen has to go from being a second-team All-NBA guy, finishing top six in MVP voting. Now you're the third option, and he's just going to be okay with that? Like, if there isn't a package out there that you do hold on to Jaylen Brown, the Celtics would then have to go and flip him.
So you think Jaylen would be pissed if they tried to do that? Like, if Brad somehow pulled off the impossible and got Giannis in here, you honestly think that Jaylen would be like, get me the F off this team?
I think it would be pretty unfair to him to make him the third option.
But that's like a big three. That's like a real big three, and that's a better chance for you to win a championship. You think that Jaylen's that type of personality?
I mean, if he's consistent with what he's been his entire career and talking about the sacrifice and being willing to do what's needed for the team, then it wouldn't be an issue. But if people are worried about his fit this year after the season that he had last year and kind of playing second fiddle per se, I imagine asking him to be the third guy. I don't see
that. You know what's crazy, though, is that he's not sacrificing in salary.
Like, no, that's right. Exactly.
That's where I get stuck with him is he's complaining that he doesn't get the love, but it's not reflected in what they pay him. He's getting paid one of the highest paid players in the league.
Right. He's on a supermax deal. Now, I just don't think it's feasible, like, from a contract standpoint. Okay. Anyway.
Well, then let me ask my follow-up question.
That's probably true.
Let me ask my follow-up question then.
Yes.
Because we are now all of a sudden, now I said this on the air the other day, and then all of a sudden Jay Williams comes out with a report that seems to echo exactly what I was saying. One of the biggest stories of this New York Knicks team and their amazing run and just fairy tale ending was that Jalen Brunson, the guy who saved the season for them, their MVP, took less money in order for them to put a good team around him for them to win a championship. And I said this on the air. I'm like, I guarantee you, that might start something. Now, whether that is management saying, hey, you saw what Brunson did. If you take a little bit of a pay cut here, we can put these guys around you. We can put X, Y, and Z player, and maybe you could win a championship and put together a big three. Whether or not players are going to agree to that, I don't know. But do you see there being any kind of situation where maybe management can go to somebody like Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum and say, hey, if we kind of redo your contract, we can bring in Giannis and have ourselves a big three. Do you see that happening in any kind of way?
I don't. But to that point, like Karl Anthony Towns is the one player on the Knicks roster that is making max money. So that's why like Jalen Brunson taking that $100 million pay cut allows them to pay OG Anunoby, allows them to pay Mikal Bridges. Like that's what allowed for this to happen. When you're looking at the Celtics, it's like three players with Tatum, White, and Brown are all command like 70% of the salary. It's really tough to build around a team like that. So that's kind of a newer thing now with the second apron restrictions and all the new CBA. That's where this has become like a real thing.
Yeah.
But like you're looking at it, like teams might have to do that to extend your window. Cause right now you can really only dip into it for like 2 years and then you got to dip back out. Like that's just the prohibitive nature of the second apron.
Wow. Do you think,
it's an unfortunate
thing.
Do you
think guys will start being judged on how much they want to win a championship based on how much they're willing to sacrifice in salary?
Let me ask you this. Did you judge any of those quarterbacks when Tom Brady was taking a salary cut?
Hell yeah, I did.
Yep.
Peyton Manning, selfish.
Yep.
I mean, I was brainwashed, but that's how I felt. I felt like, well, this Colts can't put – I mean, I literally thought the salary cap meant something back then, okay? So let's go back 20 years.
Yeah.
I thought we had the better player because he sacrificed for the team because he took less money from a market standpoint. So, yeah, I think, to me, that would add to your reputation.
Yep.
You know, and your – I just think your legacy would be just highlighted if you were – to me, Brunson, I love him because that's how he thought and he went and won it. God, he deserves all the praise right
now. That might be an extreme example, but like just the thought of building around two max money guys makes it really, really difficult to put a good surrounding cast around them. Now, the Celtics are in a good position to do it because of the young players that they have right now. Like assuming all of them that we saw last year are as good as they were last year and they continue to take leaps because really none of them are making a ton of money. Like Kata, really cheap money, Shireman, Walsh, all the wings, Ugo. All of them are very cheap money, but when those guys do get expensive, you now have to hit on the draft again, and you have to hit on these like low money free agents.
It doesn't seem sustainable.
No, it's just so very hard to build around teams when you have two supermax guys. Now, let alone three, then it's impossible.
Yeah.
Like, now, it's just sir, those two, three.
We heard from Paul Pierce earlier in the show, great clip, where he's on your side. He doesn't want to trade Jalen, right? He wants to run it back, keep it going.
Is that your side, by the way? You're a key.
It depends on the package. Like, okay. Obviously, if you have the chance to get Giannis Antetokounmpo and he is healthy and he wants to be here and he will be motivated, that's tough to turn down. Like, the guy before this year was a top seven or finished first team All NBA seven consecutive years and was MVP top four all seven of those years. Like, he is, when healthy, one of the best players.
I like hearing this is a different turf that I've heard.
Things.
You hear how the beat is shifting in a couple weeks? All of a sudden, they're making a case. How about that?
Owners are speaking to him off the record.
Scal last week when he came on with us, he was like, well, I do like him, you know, but...
I mean, this is a generational player, and that's not to take away from Jalen Brown, but one for one, like Giannis Antetokounmpo is a better player. And I mean,
wow, this is unbelievable.
When healthy, sure. When
this
healthy.
Is unbelievable.
But the whole
weeks ago
thing,
we had you on, it was a no brainer. You run it back, you slingshot it for 2 years.
Because at that
down
point,
the road.
I don't know how like realistic it was. Like this has really become a thing.
That was only Ken Laird speculating. Like, nobody took that seriously.
So just to be clear, so Terp, do you think if JB gets moved, Giannis comes in, they're a much better team? With Giannis and JT as opposed to JT and JB?
I wouldn't say much better because the supporting cast still needs help. Like, you still need to address things. And if you bring in Giannis, your center becomes a big problem because you really can't have Giannis and Kate on the floor together. It's just too compact in the paint. Their spacing's way off. Like, if you get Giannis, you are then going to have to go and get a stretch big, somebody that can space the floor as your center. You just can't run it with Kate with Giannis. Spacing's way off. So, there are moves to come, and maybe that's why the Celtics are looking at this as like, okay, if we can get Giannis in a package that doesn't involve Jalen, then you flip Jalen and go get your stretch big, which, again, that feels like a lot, right? Because you have to land Giannis, then you have to find a team that's willing to take on Jalen, which I think obviously teams are going to. Like, his trade value has never been higher, but I don't know. Like, I see it both ways. Like, Giannis is that good where, of course, you have to look into this. And the Celtics for years have been against trading the Jays and breaking that duo up. But when you have a player of Giannis's caliber out there, you got to consider it.
This is mind-blowing.
I know. I like it. Now that he feels that this could be real, now that Bill Simmons went out
crazy.
There and put, you know, set the Giannis alarm
That's
off.
You're totally right. That's what it was. When Bill Simmons talks, the beat just starts to let Bill Simmons say.
Well, Terp, I want to also get your take on whether or not you believe he is actually in the end going to come here if he gets, because I mean, the offer's apparently been made, but you got what Miami's offered. There's so much to talk about with this. I want to find out just officially what your stance is on what, if you had your crystal ball and you could look into it, where do you think this ends in a couple of weeks? But tell us, we have 2 minutes and we'll be right back in 2 minutes. It is 937 WEEI, Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson. We got top tier Turpin Studio and Ken's bobbling his head over here.
Friday night.
That's right.
Tweeter Center. I spent $70 on the red parking lot just to get out of there quicker. Is that a smart move? Or?
Worth every effing penny. That place is a nightmare. You don't know how many great bands I have, like bands I love that I've skipped out and seen because they're playing in Mansfield. Like, I mean, they might as well be playing in like, South Dakota. I just, I guess this band's not coming into town. There's a lot of great shows. I just refuse to go out there. I want to be able to enjoy myself. I mean, because you have to drive home if you go out there. You got to drive out. I love public transportation.
Not for me.
No, you got easy access out, baby.
Good. I'll report back Monday.
Good. You're not stuck in the soup out there. Okay, so, Terp, we've been talking about Giannis. Chances you think this is going to happen? What do you believe? Because I'm thinking this is most likely going to happen before the draft, because if you are Milwaukee or you want that pick, if you're going to be trading it, obviously, to Miami, or it just sounds like they want this deal done soon.
And that's what the owner, Jimmy Haslam, said. And you know what Jimmy Haslam just did? Traded Myles Garrett.
Oh, yeah.
Just traded Myles Garrett.
So if you could predict what all of these teams are going to look like, what's changed in 2 weeks?
I still think he goes to Miami. I've been kind of firm on that from the beginning. Like, they have up to 3 first-round picks that they can offer. Eventually, they're going to have to bend the knee and increase their offer. The problem is Pat Riley is very stubborn, and this is why they've missed out on so many stars over the year.
Miami's always in these trade talks.
They're always right there, but they never push it across the finish line. They're always left at the altar. And at this point, like, Pat Riley's 81 years old. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have many more opportunities to try to run a basketball team. You've got to just enhance your offer and go out and get a guy. Like, none of the players on that team, other than, like, Bam, are really worth hanging on to anyway. So, like, I would go out and just do whatever you can to get Giannis, but I still think he ends up in Miami. But, like, the Celtics thing is absolutely real, and maybe the Celtics are willing to finally break up the Jays and decide that that's the right point of attack moving forward. But I don't know. Like, going back and forth with the Brad Stevens press conference, because, like, that's all that we're really left to reference here.
Yeah.
I think part of the reason that there's so much speculation around this is because it's very true. The Celtics don't want their business out there. They want to keep everything in-house, and there's a number of reasons why they do that. And I think part of it, obviously, is you don't want to annoy or piss off a star like that, like a Jaylen Brown. Like, you don't want that out. You want to keep it in-house, control the narrative in that sense. So I think that's why there is a lot of speculation surrounding this, because the Celtics are very much involved and they don't want it out there. So I still think, like I said, he ends up in Miami, but, like, there is a real thing here. And when you lose in the first week of May, you blow a 3-1 series lead for the first time in franchise history.
Yeah.
You're sitting here all offseason watching the Knicks go through on this epic run to the finals and win the thing. You have a lot of time to think.
Yeah.
I think that changes some thought process.
Well, so Pierce said at the end of his clip, he would change his mind on Giannis if Jaylen wants out. Basically, if Jaylen wants to leave, it's a different story. If he feels underappreciated, do you think there's any evidence that that's the case?
I don't.
You don't think he feels underappreciated?
No, I don't. I really don't think so. Not after this year. After all year, you're saying how this is his favorite season and stuff. Like, maybe.
But they're trading him again. This is the fifth straight year he's in trade.
Again, though, like, they can kind of cover that up, where it's like a lot of it's speculation right now. Like, there's no concrete. Even with the Bill Simmons thing, like, mm-hmm. He's like, they made an offer. Well, there's no. He didn't even know if Jaylen was in it. Like, no one knows if Jaylen's.
Oh,
really,
he doubled down on that, like, and said Jaylen was in it. That's what he
did. No. He said, I'm assuming Jaylen.
Yeah.
He did. Okay. But wasn't there also a report that came out that some point during the season they had talked to Atlanta about a trade with Jaylen Brown?
Yes.
I didn't see that one.
That was, yeah.
Can we check?
Chris Mannix said that.
Was it? I think it was Mannix. Yeah. Because I got to be honest. If I was Jaylen Brown, I'd be pissed too. If every year you're going out there and you're playing your ass off, and you know what? Especially if you have a year like this, and you're being talked about being traded, like, it's like, what do you want from me?
And they
what
know it annoys
me. He's still the top paid player in the NBA?
No, I
can't get over that. How can you be mad when you get paid like you're the best player in the
because
NBA?
Because he's a human being. And, like, anytime anyone's going to uproot you and move you to somewhere where you don't want to go, that's out of your control, especially when you feel comfortable with the team that you're on, with the players that you're playing with, and you got this routine, and you've been here your entire career, that's got to gnaw at you that someone else is going to call the shots for your career.
And I guess. I don't know.
I see what you're saying. I totally do.
Does he really love playing with Jason Tatum? I mean, this was his favorite year ever. Oh, Jason Tatum didn't play all year.
He likes playing with Hugo. That's right.
I think he does, as long as he understands that this is his best chance to win. Like, as long as this is his best chance to win and the Celtics are going to be competitive, then he's going to want to be here. That's what he's voiced throughout his career. So maybe that's changed with his name and trade rumors again. We don't really know. He's out and doing a side quest in China for 741 or whatever he's doing out there. But we don't really know. All we could really go off is what he said in the past. And what he said in the past is, as long as they are competitive, all he wants to do is win. So therefore, he'd like it here.
All right, text question for Terp, Rich, if you're okay with this.
Sure.
Kind of goes hand-in-hand with that list that I know you wanted to get to at some point.
We got to get to this list.
Okay, 207 text. Ask Terp to teach you guys some basketball and rank Brunson, Brown, and Tatum.
Okay.
Love it.
Perfect. Can we now go to the list?
Well, I just want to hear his ranks first, and then we'll go.
Let's go just on these three.
I just want to hear who he would put in that order. Rank them in order.
Tatum's number one. Jalen Brown's number two.
Ooh,
Brunson's number
two. You are out of your effing gourd.
What?
Jalen Brunson?
He's number three of those, yes. Of those players, yes, he's number three.
What did you
just
watch?
Can we get the Snoopy music, Stiz? Come on. Where's the Charlie Brown music?
What did you just watch?
I value the defensive side of the ball as well in this. And Jalen Brunson at times is the opposing player, or opposing team's best offensive player, because they just attack him relentlessly.
Okay. Which one in a game seven would you want?
That's a different question.
Biggest question.
The question was who's better. That's a completely different question. Like a game seven, like Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown have their moments.
Schoolyard picking. Who are you picking?
Still go the same order. Yeah. But in a game seven, that's a completely different scenario. Then I would take, like, probably Jalen Brunson. He has a more proven track record. Like, Jason Tatum, Jalen Brown have their moments. But, like, you can't watch what Jalen Brunson does down the stretch of these games and be like, oh, I wouldn't want that guy.
But
like,
game seven is when it matters most. In the NBA. Yes, exactly, Sis. I think closer is the best quality a basketball player can have. Closer.
I agree. Okay, so this list from The Ringer, right? Yeah. They list the top 100 players in the NBA, and they have, or this list, right? So they have...
They update this constantly, right?
Yes, yeah, they continue.
So it was just updated again yesterday.
It was? Okay, so they have Jason Tatum ranked out of these 100 players at 13th, and they have Jaylen Brown ranked 14th. And they have the guy that you said you'd pick third behind Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown at 5th. Jalen Brunson is the 5th best player.
Oh,
anyway,
by the way, this is Bill Simmons.
What did I say yesterday? I said Jalen Brunson is a top 5 player in this league, and looks like someone else agreed.
Oh boy!
What does this say about, like, they have Karl Anthony Towns at 12th in front of Jason Tatum?
That's not right. Now that I'll say is wrong.
I disagree with that, and I also just think it's like recency bias. You just saw these guys go 16-3 on one of the most dominant postseason runs that we've seen in recent history. And win a title. Like, of course they're going to get more attention. We haven't really seen Jason Tatum. Last time we saw Jason Tatum was in game 6, and they got blown out, ran off the floor by Philadelphia.
I think what is an interesting thing to look at is that of the top 15 players, there's only one team that has two players that are in the top 15. That's the Boston Celtics.
Well, right? Knicks too, right?
Brunson, you're right. Yeah. Shoot. Oh, yeah. That's all right. They're the second. Okay, there's two teams. Dang it. All right. But still, that just kills my art. But let's just say, would most people say the better duo is Tatum and Brown, or would they say it's Karl Anthony Towns and Brunson?
I would say most people would say it's probably Tatum and Brown.
Yeah. And I agree with that.
The duo is
I actually
better.
Agree with that.
Like, the supporting cast with the Knicks was much better than the supporting cast of the Celtics,
yes.
Which I think plays into this a ton, where it was Jason Tatum, Jalen Brown, and occasionally Peyton Pritchard throughout the postseason,
yeah.
When it matters most. Mm-hmm. They were the only three players to score 15 points or more in a game the entire postseason for the Celtics. Mm-hmm. Nobody else was scoring. Like, Tatum and Brown were accounting for almost 80% of their offense. Mm-hmm. Like, they need some sort of supporting cast. And when they did have a supporting cast around them, a rock-solid supporting cast, much like the Knicks had this year, what happened? They went on a run just like the Knicks did, 16-3, same record, and won a finals.
All right,
in five games.
So I've got a direction I want to go in, but it's going to take longer because there's something I wanted to ask you that it has to do. Can you stick around for one more break?
Yeah, I'm in.
Okay, good. Because like Ted said something earlier that kind of goes along the lines of what I was thinking right here. Ted said that he believes that this Celtics team with the two Jays should be winning more championships or should have won more championships. And I want to get your take on that. And it leads to something that I have spent way too much time on, way too much time breaking down stats and things like that. But I need to get your opinion on it because you truly know way more about basketball than I'll ever know. So I need to get a top tier opinion on it right when we get back. It is 93.7 WEEI, Rich Sherton League, Ken Laird, 3-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. And we are down at Fenway right now. Gorgeous day. A gorgeous day for some bad baseball. But you know what? Nonetheless, it's going to be a beautiful stadium. And it is, I believe, John Williams bobblehead night.
There you go.
So you get a little something when you get in here.
Star Wars.
I saw a ton of Scots when I was walking over here.
They're everywhere. So
there will be some more energy in the ballpark.
They're going to be at the Cisco Brewery, I think. They're meeting around. Like our friend Kat, who is reporting on the Tartan Army, she's going to be over there.
Did you say John Williams bobblehead?
Yeah. John Williams bobblehead night.
The composer.
Oh, yeah. The composer.
Not even an actor.
Nope. Composer.
Just the composer's bobblehead.
What am I missing?
Not any composer.
I know, but okay. That's just the most random bobbleheads I've ever heard. Okay. But yeah, I love him as a composer, but I didn't know a lot of people coming to the baseball games were lovers of composers.
Oh, I'm a huge fan of composers.
Okay.
And baseball. Right. So why not? Maybe I'll try to yank one. By the way, John Williams scores ranked. I'm going to go just off the top of my head, top five. Number five, Home Alone. Number four, Star Wars. Number three, Indiana Jones. Four. Number two, Jaws. And number one, E.T.
How about Jaws? Just two beef. That's it.
The best.
Well, he did the Olympic theme, too. You got to have that in the top five. What do you mean, boo? That is iconic.
I'm putting that below the Harry Potter theme. That's down at the bottom, baby.
I don't even know what the Harry Potter theme is. I never watched Harry Potter. Ding, ding, ding.
You've been to Universal Studios.
I guess I watched the first one with my daughter, but yeah, not good. Not as good as the Olympic theme.
No. Definitely not as good as E.T. E.T. is the best one. E.T., if it wasn't for that score, I know grown men who have cried at the end of E.T. It's like literally like a gut punch. That final moment when he's leaving in the big spaceship and it just closes right up on Elliot. Dun, 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 dun.
I remember I was so embarrassed I cried in front of my dad at that movie.
Yeah.
He was like, it's okay, son. It's okay.
That music is so powerful, it makes grown men cry. So E.T. by far, number one. All right, so top tier Terp. We were asking you about the whole Jalen Brown Giannis stuff, but I want to ask you something like completely offside. The last eight seasons, you have had different NBA champions.
Yes.
And like this is something I don't remember happening. Like we're not in a time of dynasties anymore. We're not in a time where, you know, you look at a team and you think, well, they're for sure going to win several more championships. The parity is unbelievable. Why do you think that is?
I think it has a lot to do with the CBA and how things are constructed now. And also the talent around the league. Like there's so much more talent in the league now. And that's not to take away from what it used to be like, but there are, the style of play is different. Like there's just, the game has changed. And I think that's what leads to it as well. Cause like looking at a team like the Celtics, for example, the last three of the last 4 years, they've been eliminated from the playoffs for what? Shot making.
Sure.
Like the teams that are making shots or making their threes are going to have a deeper run. Like that's just how it is. So I think it's part of the, obviously now more so in like recent history, it's because of the new CBA and how the league has constructed things to work, but it's also just because of how the game has changed. And
yeah.
I think like, with such a heavy emphasis on shooting, that's led to some varied results.
Is there any kind of thought process behind that sometimes in the modern NBA, when people win a championship, they tend to take their foot off the gas, like they've won. There aren't like a lot of, we talked about Kobe, you know, off the air. Like there aren't a lot of Kobe Bryants anymore. There aren't like, LeBron James isn't LeBron James anymore. Like I need more. Like maniacs, dogs, as we've been talking about, who really want to win.
I think there is, especially in the regular season. Like I think when people are looking at like teams that come off a title in the regular season, it's like when the Celtics were like 500 for like 6 weeks the year after they won the title, everyone's like, oh, it's just kind of a weird stretch. Like they're just kind of, they're coasting a little bit. Like yeah. They had a long off season. Some of them played in the Olympics. Like this is to be expected. Like I don't think that should be the case, because then you build those bad habits and then you ultimately bow out early, and that's what we've seen. So I don't know if it's necessarily like a mentality thing. Like obviously when it comes postseason, like things are different. But at that time, you kind of build those bad habits. So maybe in the regular season a little bit, like you're not going to expect them to play, especially now, like in today's NBA, hard like they do for 82 games after a championship. But like, yeah, I think there is some truth to that.
Do you think, like Ted was saying, this Celtics team should have won more championships with the Jays?
If this is the end, then probably. Yeah. I mean, you've gotten to five conference finals. You went to two NBA finals. You won one, obviously. You have the most wins since becoming a duo. You have the most playoff wins. Like, you had a lot of success. But, yeah. But also, it goes hand in hand with the parity, right? And, like, how difficult it is to win now. Like, I think, like, gone are those teams like the Warriors. Like, that was just a ridiculously talented team. Mm-hmm. Like, now you're seeing how hard it truly is to win. And that's why I think when you're looking at talking about breaking up the Jays, you have to consider the success that they've had. Like, they're since becoming a duo, like, they have the second most finals appearances. Like,
but yeah, it's success, but it's also, you know, they've also fallen short, too. I mean, I think they've had success comparatively speaking to other teams, but to have the best duo in the NBA for the last 5 years and only win one, I think is underachieving. I think it's disappointing at the end of the day. I mean, both the guys are going to have their jerseys retired. I know that, but I think they should have at least had one more if they're really truly as good as we think they are.
I really look at their kind of, obviously they've been a duo for 9 years now, but I think it really kicked off after like the bubble, right? Like when the Kemba Walkers were gone, the Kyrie Irving,
yeah,
like oh, when they really took over is when you really start looking at them, and that's when they had the most success. When those guys were the top dogs, they were or still are, I guess. We're kind of don't want to write the memoriam right now before we even know what happens, because there's a good chance that Jalen's back and they run this back because it works. It's shown that it's worked. Like they've had consistent success, but again, like I can't fault the front office for looking at this thing and being like, okay, what do we do now? Like, do we pivot now? Do we decide that this is time to like maximize what we have and we have a chance to get a guy like Giannis and you do it? So, yeah.
Now, before you get to your next list, which is great, a bit of breaking news for the Red Sox. Max Scherzer not going to start tonight. He is scratched due to back spasms. So the Red Sox get a AAA opponent, right-handed pitcher Chad Dallas starting tonight.
Oh yeah.
Boy.
Hell yeah.
This might be the turning point the Red Sox need right here.
The beginning.
this is huge.
It'll be two runs instead of one.
That's right. They'll only leave 12 men on base instead of 13. All right. So, you know, there's all this talk, to your point, Terp, there's all this talk that I've heard recently that the New York Knicks are an all-time great team. And as a matter of fact, I mean, there's been so many different think pieces about, is this one of the greatest champions ever? And it got me thinking, and actually this is something that Ken threw out there, and when he texted it to me, I went, oh boy.
You ignore most of my texts, but this one you like. This one scratched right where you
hit. It was right. He texted it, and I just sent back one of those eggplant emojis. It's like, here we go. And he was like, what if you were to rank the last eight NBA champions? Like from the best team to the worst team. And I was like, oh, okay. Let's go. So, Terp, I did exactly that, and I need your opinion on this. You too, Ted.
Starting with the Raptors?
All the way back to the Raptors. So, back to 2019. So, we're going 2019 to 2020.
And by the way, can we all admit the two Golden State teams before this exercise would have blown out any of these teams?
Yes.
Oh, without a doubt.
They're one of the greatest teams of all time. There's not even a question. I'm talking about of all the teams that just won one in the last eight seasons. All right, let's start with number eight, the bottom of the list. The 2020 Los Angeles Lakers bubble championship.
Correct.
Done. Doesn't mean anything. Number seven, the 2019 Toronto Raptors. They won against an injured Warriors team missing Klay and KD for most of it in a season where they were the beneficiary of Golden State falling apart in real time. Now, Kawhi had that great shot that went viral. Yeah. Sure, that was fine. Boom. Number seven. Number six, the 2026 New York Knicks.
Whoa.
They never had to prove that they could beat an all-time great champion. The Spurs were a squad that just wasn't ready. Mm. And I think right now it's too early to rank them any higher than number six. When we saw that they ended up going against the five guys who are all on the rookie contracts, as good as they might be, Wembanyama was not ready. He was gassed, and they made dumb mistakes.
They also trailed for, 73% of the series?
Yeah, that's a great point.
And they won five games. That's insane. That's insane. Won five games, that's and insane. They trailed for 73% of the series.
That is a decent point. Number five, the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis's statement to the world, especially those back-to-back blocks in Game 6. I know you remember that? I mean, that was unbelievable.
What year was that?
That was 2021. Yep. It was, to me, that was basically Giannis's finals performance, probably one of the single greatest individual finals performances on this list. As a matter of fact, when I was doing research on this, it kind of got me excited for Giannis trade talk. Now, granted, that was 5 years ago, but my God, go back and watch some of those tape from the finals. He was God mode. He was God tier. That was the one team on this list that I remember everyone was just like, dude, they're going to win multiple championships. The East is in trouble.
I feel like we've done that for every champion. I'll let you finish first. Like every time the team wins a championship, it's like, okay, these guys are going to win a bunch here, and then it doesn't happen.
Yep. Number four, the 2022 Golden State Warriors. Steph had arguably his best finals performance ever, got finals MVP. They were aging, but they found one more gear. It was an underrated title. I thought that was a very good one. The 2022 Golden State Warriors. Number three, best team out of the last eight champions, the 2025 Oklahoma City Thunder. They won in seven over Indiana, what turned out to be a legitimately great series, and SGA getting MVP. That was a coming out party. That was one of those things where the right way crowd really loved it. You know, you did put together this team the right way. Hell yeah. Number three. Now here's where it gets interesting. At number two, the 2024 Boston Celtics.
Ooh.
They were the deepest team in the league, best record. They beat Dallas in five, and it wasn't even close. The team was terrifying for about 4 months. As a matter of fact, 64 wins. They had like an 11-point net rating, one of the best ever. They dominated the regular season and the playoffs and really had no weaknesses. Remember that team? Mm-hmm. I mean, they were elite offense, elite defense. There was depth everywhere. That, to me, was the second most impressive championship of all of those. And number one, the 2023 Denver Nuggets. That was just like the cleanest, most complete team of the bunch. Jokic was at the peak of his powers. I mean, they won in five over Miami. There was no super team construction, no shortcuts. They beat LeBron, KD, Booker, Butler. It was just, that was another one where you looked at it and went, these guys are going to be beasts for a long time. And then look what happened.
I want to push back on the Denver one. Okay. Miami was an 8 seed. In the NBA Finals.
Okay.
That's hard to get behind. If we're talking about Pavs,
the Celtics joke.
Shooting 30% from three in the conference finals.
But I think that it was the rounds before that that they truly got tested between LeBron, KD, and Booker. I think that that was a little bit tough.
Yeah, because they swept the Lakers.
Yep.
I think they went to six against the Suns.
They went 16-4 on that run.
Yeah, and then they played the Wolves, I think, with the young Anthony Edwards in that.
Yeah, which was awesome. So I put them at one. I think a lot of people are like, dismiss that Boston Celtics run because of the injuries, like especially against Indiana. I mean, you had obviously
Mitchell missed a game too, or two games.
He did. But take a look at that, the entirety of that season and the way they absolutely dominated the postseason as well. They're truly one of the greats of that last eight,
without a doubt. And I think to that point, you can look at any of these teams and kind of nitpick why they got there. Right, you can look at the injuries, you can look at the path, whatever it is. For any champion in any sport, you can do that. Because the reality is, you have to be lucky to be good, especially to win a championship. Mm-hmm. Like you can have all the talent in the world, but you need a little bit of luck as well. Like, that's just how it works. Like, if you look at this, like the Lakers, the bubble, like mm-hmm. the 2019 Raptors, like they got hot at the right time. Like,
right.
The Knicks, like look at their path that they had. Like the Bucks, same thing. Like, you can point to a shortened season that year because of COVID. Like, you can go back and forth on these things. But I do agree for the most part. I truly do think that Celtics team's up there, though.
Yeah.
Like, I think I would put them over Denver. And I know it's kind of like, oh, Denver beat an 8 seed. The Celtics beat a 5 seed with Luka and Kyrie. But like that Celtics team, the way that they executed, especially that Pacers series, like every time they needed a big play, they got it.
It's funny, my rough draft of this, I had the Celtics at 7. Before I like did any like looking at, wow, I put them at 7, and then I was like I started looking up, so I was like, oh, dude, that team ruled.
Yeah.
Like, and even I get caught up in this whole, maybe it wasn't worth it. They kind of cakewalked their way through the end, and there were injuries. No. That team effing ruled. And it got me feeling a little bit better if they do keep the two together and they make some moves around it. I still don't think they should because I don't like at all what I saw. The taste in my mouth, it's going to take a lifetime of mouthwash to get it out that horrible way that they got bounced this season. But, you know, watching the Giannis stuff and watching and reliving what the Celtics did 2 years ago, I feel a little smidge better mm-hmm. about their potential next season.
Well, I've got some critiques to that, but do you want to do that next and let Ted and I respond and some callers, or do you have something else?
Sure, yeah. I'll take it. 617-779-7937. Why not? Let's do it. 7WEEI, we are live at Fenway Park. It's Rich, Ken, 3-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. We got Top Tier Terp with us as well. We are in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and employee pricing for all. You pay what we pay. Ford, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball and that dirty water. Okay, so Ken, you said that there's a little bit of...
Well, you put together the top eight NBA recent champs, right? You ranked them 1-8.
I went, yeah, it's 8-1. Lakers, Raptors, Knicks in sixth, Bucks in fifth, Warriors in fourth, Thunder in third, the Boston Celtics, 2024 in second, and then the best team of that crew, the 2023 Denver Nuggets.
Okay, now Ted, you have some critiques on this because I think, first of all, I think the Celtics are number one on this list.
I agree.
Not to even be a homer. 64 wins in the regular season, unbelievable run, 16-3. I think you have the Golden State team way too high. You have them at 4. 2022 Golden State was just not a good team. That was an overrated shell of the Warriors dynasty team.
The Celtics were close to winning that series. The Celtics should have been up 3-1 in that series. They should have won that series.
Golden State got there through like a bunch of injured teams. It was just, that's a kind of an embarrassing title.
I do like the nostalgia of it, though. Like Curry going out and the way that he played in those finals. Like watching these guys, like watching some of these NBA finals and like the way that Curry was able to just take over that series and finally win a Finals MVP, like, that was pretty badass.
Now, and I also think the Oklahoma City team, I've totally fallen on them. I mean, they went to 7 games with Indiana. They went to 7 with Denver, I think, in the semis, which I guess in hindsight is maybe a decent win. But you had them 3rd. I just think that's too high. I would have them 5th. So I would go bubble Lakers bottom. Then I would do the Golden State team, then Toronto, then OKC, then the Bucks, who I love like you do with the Giannis performance, peak Giannis. Mm-hmm. Then I would do the Knicks 3rd. I think you have them way too low. I think this Knicks team was on a crazy heater. You got to give them credit. We'll never stop talking about a 29-point comeback. And this, they've just as hot as any team I've ever seen in sports.
I'd put them a little bit higher, too. I just love the fact, my favorite stat, they're the best fourth-quarter team in the NBA. There's something about they figured it out. They never panicked. They come back and just put their foot on your throat, man. I just think that there's something in their DNA that makes this team a special team.
It is. And I have the Nuggets, too. Yes.
Oh, you have the Nuggets at number 2? Well, you know, to be honest, the argument for the Celtics being number 1, that's fair. It's fair. I just remember the Nuggets team being, like, watching that and going, well, here we go.
They were dominant.
They were absolutely dominant. And, boy, how many – and you're right, Terp, out of all of these, how many times do we look at the winner and go, boy, they're going to be great for a long time?
At least
they're
the last 4.
A lot of championships. Right. I mean, I did it with the Nuggets. I definitely did it with Giannis, without a question.
OKC.
Not as much the other ones, but I definitely thought OKC is going to be very good. But I just remember the Nuggets and the Bucks being like, dude, there it's over. That is a dynasty.
If we're talking like the entire run too, I'm with Ken. Like, I think the OKC one was rather unimpressive. It took 2 game sevens and 2 massive injuries along the way. Like, Aaron Gordon was a shell of himself for Denver in game 7 because he hurt his hamstring. And then obviously Tyrese Halliburton, who was off to a phenomenal start in the first quarter, blows out his Achilles. That could have been totally different.
I guess the main thing that came out of this was that this was almost like when you go to that type of therapy where you like go through your past experiences and it unleashes what problems you've been having. And you're like, oh, now I figured it out. Because the 2 things that it did is it made me feel a hell of a lot better about the 2 J's together. And it actually made me feel a little bit better about Giannis. And I know it was 5 years ago when I saw that Giannis, but
good. Welcome to the dark side.
because I had this cloud for some reason, and maybe that's just being a Boston fan. You think this way, like nothing's as good as you remember it being. Oh yeah, but the Celtics, I'd kind of mentally, I don't want to say written off that championship, but I kind of heard from all these people all over the place, well, that was everyone was hurt along the way. It didn't really mean anything, dude. That team effing smoked. Like all season long. And the one main thing I remember is looking at him and going, they had no weaknesses. None. Like looking back at that season, could you think of anything? You were just like, geez,
I mean,
only had
the only thing is they were dependent on the 3 a lot of the time, but it worked. That year it was a winning formula, you know?
Sure, sure.
So if we're criticizing that now, maybe that should give you pause to do so, I guess, because when they're hot, they were just unbeatable.
That team had more 20-point wins than 15-point deficits.
Yeah. Yep.
Like the numbers on that 2023-24 Celtics team, just, it's incredible.
It felt unfair. It felt unfair after a while.
And it's funny because everyone knew as soon as they signed traded for Drew Holiday, right on the eve of training camp, it's like, okay, the Celtics are going to win it.
Yeah.
There was that story, like Mark Stein was saying, like rival executives were texting him like, uh-oh, like, this happened.
But you know what they had? They had adults in the room.
Yes.
That was
Ed, you're right.
They didn't have just 1. I mean, they had 2 or 3.
Yep.
You know, Porzingis and, and Holiday.
Yep.
And then
Horford.
And Horford. Those guys were all pros. And that's what you need with the 2 J's. I'm sorry. The pros are not the 2 J's.
They also had Will Hardy here at that point, didn't they?
No, Will Hardy had departed 2 years prior, yeah. Right. But they had Charles Lee that year, who did a phenomenal job with the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah.
Of these teams, what's the most likely team to win the next world championship? Is it
the next of these 8 teams here?
Of these teams here.
Who?
Thunder.
I mean, it's
Thunder, yeah.
The Thunder, Knicks, Celtics.
Do you think the Knicks are repeatable? Do you think the Knicks have the formula to kind of make a run again?
I mean, they have the opportunity to essentially run it back. Like, they're only free agents, Mitchell Robinson.
Can we play? All right. Stiz, do you have that clip that I sent you of James Dolan, who is the biggest dolt and worst owner in sports? Did you have that one that I sent you? By any chance, Stiz?
With the pregame thing? Or
Yeah, it was part of his, speech.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a specific part that was supposed to inspire these guys. Stiz, do you happen to have that by any chance?
Stiz might be calling your guest.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, there should be plenty of Dolan content tomorrow at the parade.
Oh,
it's tomorrow, geez. So keep an eye on that.
You agree?
He's going to give you some clicks.
You agree? He's the worst owner in sports,
yes.
Right?
Yes. The guy's insufferable.
Or JD? Is his band playing? JD in the hat?
Oh, JD in the straight shot. JD in the bowler hat. JD in the billionaire blues players. God, that pisses me off. When he was like playing that music festival, what are you not a fan of music? Yes, I just love all music. I especially love douchebags who had billions of dollars their entire lives, born into money, pretending singing songs that were about the blues. Ripping off like the music from guys who truly were dying, like had like no money. Oh God, stop. That song right there, I should have known, was about his friend Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, that's right.
After Harvey Weinstein it went to prison, he wrote a song. I should have known that he was this guy who did things with women.
I think only a guy with guilty conscience writes a song like
that. Of course, he was trying to make it. What a douchebag way to like try to be like, yeah, man, I had no idea. Let's write a blues song about it.
You know what's going to stink is it feels so obvious that the Celtics are going to play them on ring night in New York on the opening night.
I hope they murder.
Like if they play them, we have to see all this whole thing. Like that'd be great to play them.
Yeah. I would love it.
That's what happened with when the Celtics won it. They played the Knicks at home.
Yep.
First game back.
And isn't it crazy? I hate almost everything about the Knicks except for the team. Like the team's awesome.
If that team was wearing like Cavaliers colors, they're so much more likable. Like the team itself is so likable. Yeah. It's just the uniform they're wearing. So
better roster, the Celtics or the Knicks?
Oh, the Knicks, because the Celtics are very
top
heavy.
Did you say that before the playoffs started?
I was all over the Knicks from the beginning. I've been praising the Knicks the entire season. Like I think they were one of the deepest teams in the Eastern Conference.
Are you surprised the Knicks are below the Celtics in best odds to win the NBA championship next year?
They are.
Yeah, they are.
I'm surprised by that.
Celtics are three.
It's usually by default the reigning champs number one.
Celtics are number three, but number one in the East.
Yeah.
Spurs are number one.
Yep.
And then it's OKC. And then it goes Celtics.
I don't think I would have the Knicks up. The Knicks are just so deep. And again, they have the chance to essentially run it back. Like, I doubt that Mitchell Robinson sealed the game for them. Are they really going to let that guy, thank you for the service, go sign somewhere else, we're good.
Oh, speaking of that real quick, should I pay attention at all as a Celtics fan to Hartenstein or Walker Kessler from Utah? Are those guys, either of those guys, a possibility?
The Kessler one's interesting because there's a very obvious pipeline between the Celtics and the Jazz with Danny Ainge and Austin Ainge running the show over there. And they've already done business before. Since Austin Ainge took over as the president of basketball operations there last year, you saw them facilitate the Jordan Yang trade. There was also the Chris Boucher trade that they facilitated. So there is already a kind of a baseline level of business being done between those two. So Kessler's an interesting one, and that would solve a big problem there, quite literally. No pun intended, big.
All right, top tier Terp. Thank you so much,
Terp, brother. To Vegas for the summer league.
Dude, oh,
be like a good time, man.
Or is that
it's going to be a great time.
Oh, dude, let me give you a list of some places. Ted already named a bunch of shows and stuff. You got to do.
You got to go to the pool at the Wynn, the adult pool. It's like a time.
Ooh,
oh yeah,
go it's on. A European pool.
A European pool.
Google what that means.
Put your glasses on. Have fun. Yeah. Take me later.
The McGregor fights that weekend too.
Is it really?
They're like the tickets are like $20,000. So
what?
Yeah,
I went out to a fight out there. You're going to see a lot of dudes with tap out shirts.
I can imagine.
Yeah, it's an interesting collection, but yeah, I mean it's a great spot. People forget. I mean, it's not just a party town. There's some of like the best restaurants in the world that are out there. Who's doing the Sphere while you're
there? Go to Sphere.
Yeah,
the Sphere is
no doubt. I think.
What is it?
I think No Doubt's there.
Oh yeah,
I want to play that golf course that has the Sphere like staring at you as you're on like
the Wynn one.
Yeah,
which is weird because like if you look at it from your window, if you're staying like at one of the hotels that overlooks it, they just took a rectangle and somehow shoved 18 holes into this rectangle. But when you're playing it, apparently you have no idea that you're that cramped in. Like they did a great job with like all the trees and stuff like that.
Oh no, Backstreet Boys! If you want to see the Backstreet Boys,
that would be one I would see.
Yeah,
how do you go from U2 to Backstreet Boys?
I don't know. They've done it.
Unbelievable.
Who was it? Like Kenny Chesney that did like 100 shows there? Somebody. Maybe not Kenny Chesney. It was a country artist.
I know that. I don't know if he did 100 shows there, but he's done shows there. But I see country music. Why is that Sphere worthy? Like you want something like you Metallica. Have
show Yellowstone.
Of July?
Of July.
It's all Wizard of Oz.
Oh, well, there you go.
There you go.
Oh, that looks awesome.
Wizard of Oz and Kenny Chesney. So you can see one of those two.
There you go. Have yourself a great time. Hey, Terp, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me on.
Spending an entire hour with us. All right, 617-779-7937. We have an awesome story. There's been a lot of things that have gone viral this past week because of the Scots in town. This is a good one, especially if you are a hardworking person in Boston, and we are not going anywhere. We'll be back in 2 minutes.